Congregation, doctors, scientists, biologists know a lot. They know a lot about our hearts and brains and tissue and blood, and they do the lab work, and we know so much about the human body. It's amazing. People are still dying. There are many blessings also. And yet what scientists and doctors and professors in medical science don't know and don't study is the origin. The origin of human life and the meaning of it. What is human life about? What's the purpose? And what's the destiny? Where are we coming from? Where are we going? What do they actually know about humanity? If you only know about hearts and blood, and if you don't know about the soul and the destiny and the real meaning of human life, the purpose. You know, you need to see God first, who God is. There is no real knowledge of self without knowledge of God. If you can't compare yourself to God, if God is out of the picture, you don't see Him, don't think of Him, you can't understand people. You can only understand people in God's light, in the light of creation, in the light of the soul and eternity, made in God's image, and made in the lowest parts of the earth, curiously wrought, according to the book of God. So this morning, I would like to have a look at Psalm 139, especially verse 15 and 16, telling us something about humanity. Psalm 139, the main texts are 15 and 16. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So far, wonderfully made in the womb. Three thoughts. The context, the content, and the comfort. Wonderfully made in the womb. The context. How does this psalm begin? The first part of Psalm 139. That's the context. We need to know the background, the circumstances, the bigger picture. The context. Then the content, especially from verse 13 and further, about what is human life? What did the Lord do? How did David experience His conception? And then thirdly, the comfort. Because our text also speaks of, what do you think? Of Christ, right? Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, also Christ was wrought, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth and made as the Holy One in the womb. So Psalm 139 is beautiful. Beautifully designed, the structure, how it begins and ends. You can look at it for hours and you stand in awe. Look as it feels like looking at the stars. You feel the authority of God. God designing the psalm as well. It's about God's omniscience, about God's omnipresence. It's about God's omnipotence, omnipotence. But you know, David does not speak about those things theoretically, kind of abstract, an abstract form, but he does so in a very emotional way, very experiential way, right? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. So in a very tender way, very emotional, experiential way, David speaks about those things of God and creation. In what circumstances did he write this psalm? I don't know. But there are some indications. Look at verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. He's under attack. Is it Absalom or Saul or other circumstances? I don't know. But he is under attack and in danger of death. There are bloody men after him, attacking him, threatening him, and he approaches God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast made me. So in the context of threats and darkness and affliction, he writes this. The enemies are after him. He trembles and takes refuge unto the Lord. And then, what does he say? Then let me follow a few of those texts, starting at verse 1. O Lord, knowing the circumstances, O Lord, he takes refuge unto God. O Lord, thou hast searched me. He's not talking about the enemies. Thou searched me and know me. Thou knowest my essence, my meaning, my personality, my character, my temperament. Thou knowest me, thou knowest my heart, thou knowest everything of me personally. You know, the Lord knows us much better than we know ourselves. God knows me. He knows you too. Exactly. He knows. That's God's omniscience. Omniscience. Science is to know, right? Science. Omniscience, omniscient. God knows everything about me. And that was David's comfort and also David's concern. Oh Lord, search me, he says at the end of this psalm. Search me, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be a wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. But God knows me. That's where he starts. The essence, God knows me. Then he continues very carefully, step after step. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. What does he mean? Just random things? Oh no, nothing is random in the Bible. My down sitting and my uprising. He means when I sit down in my chair, when I stand up again to do something, when I do something or don't do anything, when I have a rest, when I've been pausing and resting or working, the Lord knows what I do. My down sitting and my uprising, my actions. So the Lord knows me and he knows what I'm doing. And he knows what I don't do and should do. He knows my actions, right? Or if you know who God is, may we see in it light who we are. He knows what you're doing. Also those secret things you do in dark places. He knows everything, what you're doing and not doing. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. So the Lord knows my thinking. He knows me, what I'm doing, and my thinking. Afar off, the Lord sees me coming already. He exactly knows what's going on in my mind. Before I realize myself, the Lord knows already. He knows me and what I'm doing, and my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path, what I'm doing, am I lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. The Lord follows me and knows exactly, he is acquainted, familiar with all my ways. You can't hide from him. He knows it anyway. He does not forget either. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So you like to say something, right? And before you say it, the Lord already knows what you are going to say. It's amazing. Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. So the Lord is so close by. He knows everything in his omniscience. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's overwhelming. Overwhelming. Too wonderful to me. It's high. I cannot attain to it. I cannot fathom it. I cannot absorb it. I cannot digest it. It's too much. I'm in awe. David writes. God's omniscience. Young people, middle-aged, elderly, is there something in your mind right now, something you're doing, something you're thinking about? God knows you. And David does not only speak about God's omniscience, also about God's omnipresence. Right? He has two questions with no answers. Two, we call it rhetorical questions. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Two questions with no answer. Because the answer is so obvious, right? What's the answer, young people? Children, what's the answer? Whither shall I go from thy spirit? How can I leave thy spirit behind? How can I just be alone by myself? Whither shall I go from thy spirit? It's impossible. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't, right? You go on vacation. You go to a remote area. Nobody knows you there. So whatever people think is fine. No social control. And you have a different life than you do at home. You think you can flee from his presence. You think you can go away from his spirit. But he is present. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there, or whither, or if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. David says, God is everywhere. He is in heaven. He is in the grave. He is in the place of death. He is in the universe. He's in the ground. He is inside the world. He is everywhere. The omnipresence of God. And if I take the wings of the morning, if I go to where the morning's light comes from, if I go to the east, or if I go to the Mediterranean Sea, to the west, we go up or down or left or right or before or behind, God is ever, even there shall thy hand lead me and the right hand shall hold me. Interesting? Maybe not. But it's truth. And this truth needs to sink in. God exists. He is there. He knows you. He knows what we're doing. He knows our thoughts. He follows us. He is familiar with all our ways. He's acquainted with all things. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Doing things in darkness, so nobody can see but the Lord. For the Lord there is no darkness. For him, it's always light. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Doesn't make any difference to the Lord, light or dark. You know, when the Lord gives that major change of heart, then he takes that stony heart out and gives you a heart of flesh. Then the Lord enlightens your understanding. You begin to see this, that God is alive and follows me. And you shrink, you fear, say, oh God, thou knowest everything. Oh God, thou knowest my heart. Thou knowest my going out. Thou knowest that I can't escape. And then you may have that feeling that you would like to leave. And some people have left Holland years ago and immigrated to Canada to flee from God. And God arrested them in Canada. You can't flee from him. When the Lord gives that light, then you see that he exists and that you can't escape. You would like to escape, so you leave church. You just close the Bible, throw it in the garbage, forget about it. But you know, you can't escape. And when the Lord comes, he arrests sinners. And it comes back. I can't escape. So that's the context. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. That might also refer, some say, to afflictions. So in times of affliction, God is there as well. He knows the darkness and he knows the light and he knows the circumstances and he knows everything. The context. And then David goes deeper, I would say. And doesn't only talk about God's omniscience, omniscience, and not only about God's omnipresence, but also about God's omnipotence. is so potent, so powerful, so almighty. 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. My reins. What is that word in the hospital? Renal? Renal word? Where they do kidney dialysis, renal word, right? Reins is kidneys. Thou possesses my reins. Now, reins, kidneys are the seat of feelings and desires and longing. My kidneys desire. But sometimes the kidneys or reins means just the inner man, your soul, everything that you're on the inside. God did not only make an outside, also an inside. Thou hast possessed my reins, the Lord owns me, and he owns everyone, that he owns his people in a very special way. And thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You know, the pro-life organization could use that picture of a hand, a cupped hand over an embryo. Thou hast covered me with thy hand, protecting it. Don't touch this. Stay away from this. Don't kill this fetus, this embryo. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And that's true for all people. The Lord covers spirit with his hand, wants to protect it and save it. But that's in a special way true for David. He feels that from the very beginning. He was God's child, and the Lord covered him in his mother's womb. See that? So abortion is murder. It's going against the Bible. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Oh, I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. Fearfully. Fearfully. Fear in the sense of awe. Awesome. Awe-inspiring. Something to stand in awe for. Your mouth falls open. You say, I can't understand this. This is so awesome. It's so awe-inspiring. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. I know it. My substance was not hid from thee. My frame and my bones were not hid from thee. The Lord did not look the other way. The Lord did not ignore it. The Lord saw my substance yet being imperfect. This pops up in my mind now. Then think about all that. Then I prepared a sermon. But I preached on this. In my first congregation, when there was a baby born with Down syndrome, and after a couple of days died and was buried in a little coffin. The father, being a God-fearing man, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. You stand in awe as well? Are you shallow? Cold? Just living like an animal? Ignoring those things? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. In secret, that's a euphemism for in the womb. You know, the womb is such a special place, a dark place, the secret place, the workplace of God, where God makes the child and melts the cells together, and the child develops. Curiously wrought. Some translate God has woven. God has knitted. Are you knitting, girls? The needles knitting? Something similar? The Lord is knitting. The Lord is weaving. The veins and the skin and the organs, and he makes a whole network of veins and bones and organs and everything at the right place. He's knitting, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, the lowest part of the earth. That's all the same. That's the womb. That's the secret place. So you were. You were, I was, in my mother's womb. And the Lord made me there. He made us. Then eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. The eyes of the Lord looked at me, and they are still looking. And nothing escapes. The Lord knows people inside out, but also the Lord knows people small yet in the womb, and although imperfect yet. And in thy book all my members are written. So God has a book. And it's not completely clear what it is about in the book. I give you two options. And they're probably both correct. God has a notebook. You could call it the manual. Right? You buy something here or there, and you come home and you have to look at the manual to put it all together. The screws and the piece of wood, and you know, you look at the book. Oh, this first and that first and then this and certain sequence, a certain continuance. It's precise work. You can, sometimes you have to just start all over. And the Lord is using his book, his manual. It's a very precise work, the nose and the nostrils and the eyes and the eyebrows and the nails and the little fingers, and the Lord knits it all together exactly according to his book. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as there was none of them at first. And then slowly but certainly. You know, 22 days. And the heart is beating. Amazing. And a couple months and brain waves can be measured. And so soon those webbed hands become fingers. So piece after piece put together. Then eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, not complete, not finished yet. And in thy book all my members are written, which in continual fashion. So there's one option, God's manual. Or it means the book of God's providence. I mean, in continuance can also mean day by day. God's schedule. Do you have a schedule for the summer? Do you have an agenda? Do you have a calendar? You cross it all on this day and that day, on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, do this and that week and the 30th of the month and the 10th of the month. You have a schedule, you have a book. And God has also a book, an agenda, a schedule for everyone. The day of the conception, the day of developing, the day of birth, the day of your 10th birthday, the day of you turn 20, the day that you die. It's all in this book. All the members are written. But members is in italics, see that? So that's not in the original text. It can also mean thy days are in the book. And nothing is happening by chance. The Lord is doing it all. His time, his way, with his purpose, not making any mistakes. You know, we had a doctor in Holland, was an atheist. And then one of the babies was born, and one of the children was born, and he came to the house, as is the custom in Holland, and he looked at the baby, and I said, "Doctor, I think it is very difficult to prove that there is no God." He didn't say much. But how difficult to prove there's no God. When you think of human life, that those two cells melting together can become a person. So beautifully designed, with a purpose, with a meaning for life. Think of Jeremiah 1 verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." One more thing in this thought. It's not very clear in this psalm. You have to go to Psalm 51, other psalms for that. But there is a little hint. "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's beautifully made, but since our fall in Adam, sinful people, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? So those little children are so beautifully designed. It's awe-inspiring. We cannot attain to it. We feel God's presence, God's knowledge, God's power. And yet, sinful since the fall, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So, that's why David says, "O Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me." I don't trust myself. I also need to be saved. So we look at little babies as wonderfully and fearfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Thou knowest right well. Much more can be said about this. respecting that life, respecting the gender. Be fruitful and multiply. Maybe I preach about it in the future, and I'm not sure yet. But let me already say this. How many children? How many children you married are you supposed to have? Well, let me say bluntly, as many as is possible. I mean, as many as it is fair and as many as is reasonable. And you have to think about God, God's glory, God's honor. Those babies in the womb are potentially God's people. The Lord needs people. We don't have children for ourselves. It's not about us. I like to have children because I love children. It's not about you. It's not about those children. It's about the Lord. He has said, multiply, fulfill the earth. I need a church. And of course, you need to think about your health. Your health is important. I'm not going into details now. But keep it in mind. Those children, you have them for the Lord. My mother and father have 10 children. I'm the oldest of 10. And my mother said, not so long ago, it was an investment. Because now I have 10 children to look after me. And that's an asset. But even that is not the point. The point is for God's church to fill the kingdom of God. And let it go now. The content, the comfort. It's fearfully. It's awe-inspiring. It's marvelous. We cannot attain to it. It's too high. It's overwhelming. There is something even more overwhelming. There's something that is beyond this. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Almighty God looked upon mankind, all those beautiful people that have sinned against him and made himself worthy of hell. And the Lord could have swept them all away and passed by everyone and done justice. But in his sovereignty and goodness, he has given his only begotten Son in the womb, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and holy, no sin, beautiful, precious Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul quotes Psalm 139. For a reason. Because he quotes that lowest part of the earth. What was it again? It was the womb, right? The lowest part of the earth. I read in Ephesians 4, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lowest parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heavens. that he might fill all things. So the Son of God, mind-boggling, entered into life. In human life, he became man. Became man. In order to save man. I read in Philippians, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So Lord Jesus' conception, holy conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary. I will praise thee. For he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. Do you appreciate that Lord Jesus? Do you need him? Do you seek him? Do you love him? Do you believe in him? You need him. Because we are made in God's image, fearfully, wonderfully made, but yet sinners. And he's the only one who can cover our sins. Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, right? Children are partakers of flesh and blood. He also, himself, likewise, took part of the same. Flesh and blood, the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, is the devil. So the Lord Jesus, born in the flesh, partaker of blood and flesh, so he could die. So he could take the power of death away. So he could save a people from their sins. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Isn't that fearful and marvelous? That he took upon him that same seed, like unto his brethren, so he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. It's my privilege to preach unto you Jesus Christ, born, conceived in the womb. You know, the purpose of this psalm is to confront you with God and to compare yourself and to realize he made me and he's made me beautifully woven, knitted, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, but also to seek that God who made me. Because someday we will meet with him. And the purpose of this psalm is also God's praise. The Lord wants to be honored. That's the purpose of life, isn't it? God's honor. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it's high, I cannot attain to it. Tell the Lord today, I can't understand it, Lord. It's too high. I cannot reach it. It's beyond my comprehension. It's mind-boggling. My brain freezes. Thou hast made all those things. And may this be true in the heart. I will praise thee. For I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous at thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And of course, you know, in order that to be true, you need to be born again. And that work of regeneration is even more wonderful. The Lord gives a new heart, a new will, and new desires, a new longing and hatred against sin. God does not only make people out of nothing. He changes unwilling ones. He quickens dead ones from the dead. He raises them. One more thing, or two more things. We have respect for the body of people. That's why we feel so awful about abortion. That's why we feel so awful about euthanasia. And that's why I feel so awful about pansexuality. We are made male and female, and we should have the highest respect for how God has designed us with a plan and a purpose in our bodies. I don't care how people feel about themselves. That's not decisive for your identity, how you feel, how God made you. That counts. There's a new book. I haven't read it. I plan to order it. Called Love Thy Body. Interesting title, Love Thy Body. And what I read about this is there are people who felt female in their male body. They felt transgender. And some have discovered their bodies and began to respect their bodies, and they're healed. So think about that. With all respect and compassion for people who struggle with that, we don't hate them. We don't hate them. But we love their bodies more than they do. Respect it. And the last thing, this psalm ends kind of negative, or as an imprecatory psalm. Know what that is? Imprecatory psalm? Curse psalm. Do not I hate them, O Lord, hate thee. And I'm not grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. What is that? Is that the Bible? So David was in certain circumstances, and yes, he hates them. But hate, not in the sense of retaliating, not hate in the sense of revenge, not at all. But in a sense of justice. He is a defender of capital punishment. You know, if I will be in prison and talk to someone on death row in the States, and the prisoner would ask me, are you in favor of capital punishment? I would say, I think so, yes. So you hate me? No, I don't. I like to pray with you. I like to read the Bible with you. But justice needs to be done according to the Bible. I take sides with God as well in those things. So that's the background. And then the end is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He needs God's guidance, the Lord's help, the Lord's comfort. Wonderfully made in the womb. The context, but omnipresence and omniscience and omnipotence, and the content about curiously wrought and woven, and the comfort, in spite of our deep fall and sins, yet the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And don't forget about the book. All things go according to the book. The book of God's manual, and the book of God's agenda, or God's calendar. Nothing happens by chance. And in the darkest times, may the Lord guide you and help you. You know, the most important thing is absolutely not having a child. That's not the issue. But the most important thing is to be a child and to have a father in heaven and follow him. Lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. The Lord has fashioned us. Thus made us wonderfully made in the lowest parts of the earth, having been spared for so many years already. And Lord, we ask thee, make room for the child Jesus, that holy one in the womb of the Virgin Mary. May we need him, make room in the hearts for him. May that be our purpose. May he be our joy. May he be our meaning in life. Lord, give what's needed. Thou knowest how you have said in church, O Lord, we ask, apply thy word, and give us that holy respect and fear for thy name, for thy works. Graciously remember us the rest of this day, the minister officiating in Dutch language, and me again tonight in English. Lord, we ask for thy favor, for thy help. In Jesus' name alone, amen.